to you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good to have you here tonight, out on a rainy night. I think it rained all day today. We're in Romans 1 and 9. I wrote up here, please turn off your cell phones because it's recorded onto the machine so we can't get it off. When they get on there, it's on there from now on and it goes out all over the website and everything else. This is the analytical Greek lexicon I keep referring to, and in your books, in your interlinears, all the interlinears that I've written, all of them in the New Testament, they're all cross-referenced to this book. So if it says page 119 in there, that's ace, and you can look right on here and just see everything about the Greek preposition ace, and we're going to look at that one tonight, I think, someplace. As you can see, there it is. It'll be right on that page when you look it up. If you go on to Amazon or something and you look up the book, look up the Analytical Greek Lexicon by Zondervan. It was printed in the 70s. This is the best one that I ever saw. I have one that I completely edited and wrote every mistake that they had in it and wrote in a lot of extra stuff and cross-references stuff. A lot of people wanted that one, and I copied it for years because this one here was hard to get. But it cost $75 for that one we copied. It's 444 pages. So that's a lot of money. Anyway, if you want to look at this, you can look in here, and it's an analytical lexicon that it tells you about it, what years. You can get them anywhere from $5 to $50. It just depends on who's got it. Okay? And we're in Romans 1 and 9. I talked about the text of the New Testament a little bit last week. What?
Yeah,
it's on. It should be on. Yeah. Thank you. This is a real Greek text. It's all Greek. It does have headings in English, but the rest of it's in Greek. When you really want to study the text of the New Testament, you'll need one of these. This is an Alpha Island text. I've used this so much I wore the cover out, so I had to put another cover on it. And anyway, it'll tell you the history of the text. Where, if you see in your study Bibles, whatever study Bible you have, a New American Standard or New King James or whatever study Bible, where there are some discrepancies in what the original text say, it'll have it over there. We looked in John, the seventh and eighth chapter, where that story about the woman that was caught in adultery, it's not even in the Bible. You hear so many preachers preaching all about that, but it is not there. That was added hundreds of years after the Bible was completed, and it's crept into a text through a preacher's notes as an illustration.
You mean that story was not in the
Bible? That story is not in the Bible. Simple as that.
In the original Bible.
In the original language. The Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 9 onward, is not in the original languages. That was added later on. The text there is completely different. But your good study Bibles will tell you this. But then if you've got one of these with an apparatus in the bottom of it, it'll tell you what year and what family of manuscripts those texts were found in. So you can really do a study of it. Last week I had a book here called The Text of the New Testament. It's Transmission, Corruption, and Restoration by Bruce Metzger. And that is a good book if you want to study about the text of the New Testament. As we go along, you'll see a little bit of this. David, do you have that book? Did you read that one?
Which one?
By Bruce Metzger?
No, I don't.
Okay. I didn't know whether you got that. Did any of you get that in here so far? Did you, Randall? I know some of my students have over the last 14 years, and I have read a little bit out of there. All right, Romans 1 and 9. We'll read this together, and then we'll go back and translate it and check these words out. We're going to find out there's so much Greek in English. There's a lot of Greek in English. Marquis. Marcus. All right. Gar. Mu. Estes. Ho. Theos. Ho. Latrio. En. To. Pneumate. Mu. En. To. Euangelio. Tu. What's the next word? Huiu. Altu. Hos. Adialetos. Menion. Himon. Poiomai. All right. The cross-reference to other chapters in the Bible are Romans 9 and 1, Acts 24, 14, 2 Timothy 1 and 3, Hebrews 9 and 9, and 10 and 2, Ephesians 1 and 6, and Philippians 1 and 3. I'll try to give them to you. If you want me to repeat something, I will. Or you can go on the website, on discovertheword.com, and listen to it. Because this man right here, you haven't met him yet, this first time, Randall, hold up your hand. That's the guy responsible for those two websites right there. That's the one. So, give him a hand. Because I know you all appreciate that. Because you can go listen to it again. All right? If you miss a class or something, you just go back. The first one says witness. That's martyr. Does it sound? What is a martyr? It is a witness. The word martyr means witness. Okay? Martyr, gar, and actually Greek starts out kind of like Spanish does. Gar is a casual particle or a conjunction, and you use that, and it's like for because of this. So it would say, because of this, witness of me it is. Estin, present, indicative, active, third person, singular. All right? And now the verbs. How many of you know the persons of verbs? How many of you know first, second, third person, singular, and plural? How many of you know that? Anybody know it? No?
I know it exists.
Okay, exists. Let me show you just a little bit about that, because you're going to learn English as you learn Greek. Okay? You never learn your own language until you learn a foreign language. Did you know that? They'll teach you that. All right. All right. Estin comes from A. All right? That's where it comes from, right there. First person, second person, third person, singular. All right, singular. And plural. All right. What is first person singular? Who is it? I. All right. Second person singular. Huh? Okay. Third person. All right. He, a she, or an it. Okay. In Greek or Hebrew, because you have the verbs are actually inflected and tells you who's doing it. Okay. All right. Now, first person plural is what? We. Or no. We, all right. Second person. You all. That's okay, you know. You all. Are ye? Actually, it's ye. Okay. And then third person? They. All right. And then infinitive is what? To something. To go, to jump, to run, whatever. Okay. There's your verbs. So you got that. Now, in English, you have a subject and an object, don't you? Okay? In Greek, you have nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. There's eight cases. Okay? Eight of them. All right? Greek is extremely perfect in grammar and in person and things. God could not have written the New Testament in a better language. A legal language that you can't get away from. You have trouble with the cults and isms? The New Testament Greek will take care of it. Just wipe them away. Just rub them out. Now, the Greek will also straighten out your theology. If your theology isn't right, you're going to buck it. And it'll ride you. If it's straightened out, then you'll be all right. Simple as that. All right. For witness of me, it is. All right? Or he is. All right? He is. That's who we're talking about. He is. For witness of me, he is the God. Now, look at this. Now, the God, their whole theos is what? Os, one. That's singular. Nominative through vocative. Okay? So this is nominative, singular, masculine. How many persons are in there in God?
Three.
Well, how many persons?
One.
One. God is one. He is made up by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is three. One. 1. 1. Okay. So God is nominative, singular, masculine. He is the subject. He is doing the acting. He is the witness. All right. Of me. All right. In whom? All right. In whom? In whom? That's locative, singular, masculine, a little relative pronoun. In whom I serve. All right. This word, it means to serve for hire in places, but here it means to serve for ingratitude. We serve the Lord because we are saved, don't we? We don't serve the Lord to get saved. We serve the Lord because we are saved. In whom I serve, I worship with. I serve with worship. All right? I serve and worship. In the Spirit. Okay. Now let's... My lungs are getting so bad that I can't stand perfume anymore at all. And I'm having trouble with this here... This thing. Chalk would be much better. But I need to show this to you. All right. In every person, we're made in the image of God. All right? We're made in the image of God, and God is triune. He's not three, but He's triune. Okay? He's triune. What does triune mean? Three in one. Three in one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you are one, but you are, there are three entities in you. All right? One of them is soul and spirit and body.
Triune.
Triune.
Yin, one.
Yeah.
Three in one.
When I look at you, I know that you have three things that make you up, but I see in your physical image. What is the physical image of God?
Jesus.
Jesus. Simple as that. That's basically, He's the only God you're ever going to see. Because He is the image of the what? Invisible God. Now, as you are sitting here, you are body. Okay? Every one of you have a body, and we know each other by our bodies, don't we? By what we look like, our images that we look like. Okay? But we have a spirit in there. Now, when we're born into this world, the Bible says we're born with the spirit of what? The spirit of disobedience. The spirit of disobedience. Okay? And the spirit of Adam. Thank you. I told you before that when God created Adam, He breathed into him what? The breathings of lives. He breathed into him the breathings of lives, plural. Breathings of lives. So you were in Adam. When Adam sinned, you took part in it. Okay? The woman does not pass on the sin nature of the human race. The man does. Sin, in the blood, in Jesus' blood, we have everlasting life. In Adam's blood, we have death. And we are infected with sin. We know that. We have it all of our lives. That spirit affects our body and our soul. Okay? Now, when we're born into this world, we have the spirit of disobedience in us. But we have a mind, and in the mind is what we call our person, our soul. All right? In Hebrew, spirit is what? It's pneuma in Greek. What is in Hebrew? Spirit. Ruach. Ruach. All right? Body. We have a physical body, don't we? All right? We have a body that's physical. And we have a soul. The soul is, we got our word psychology from it, is psyche. Psyche in Greek. And it's nephesh. Nephesh in Hebrew. Okay? So we have this here. Now this nephesh or psyche that you have, your psyche. We have somebody that studies the psyche. We have a psychologist, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's all medical terms come from what language? Greek.
Mm-hmm.
All legal terms come from Latin. All right. So we have Brother David.
Can I take a side trip or
Well, according to how far off it goes.
The word nephesh is obviously related to the word Nephilim.
Yeah.
Is that because...
Well, Nephilim means fallen ones.
It also means created beings, though.
Yeah. Well, a Nephilim is a created being. It means fallen ones, a Nephilim. It's a little different than nephesh. Nephesh, a Nephilim has a soul, so to speak. They're eternal beings. The Nephilim, by Genesis 6 and 2, and through there is what we're talking about, the fallen ones. Okay? When the Nephilim were on the earth back at this period of time right here on the map. Okay? Right there. Now, nephesh. Nephesh is soul. That's your psyche, and that's eternal. From the time you come into existence at conception. Okay? Now you're conceived, you're formed in your mother's body, in your mother's womb, but with your father's blood, and that infects you with sin. When you are saved, all right, you're convicted by the Spirit God, Ruah Elohim or Pneumah Theos, okay, Spirit God. You're convicted by Spirit God, and it convicts your soul, your mind, your person, okay? And you call out to God, and you're saved, and guess what happens? That spirit is taken out of you. It's crossed out. It's that spirit of disobedience that was marked you for hell is removed, and Spirit God dwells in you. All right? Spirit God dwells in you. And that's marked you for eternal life and for the resurrection of the saved. All right. Now, all of these people back yonder are saved the same way the people in the New Testament are, believe it or not. A lot of people don't talk about soteriology. Soteriology is what? What's soteriology? That's a Greek term.
Study of salvation.
They were saved the same way in the Old Testament, but looking forward to the Christ. All right? All of those sacrifices, they look forward. They believe. If they did this, they believed in God. And all of these sacrifices. God preached the gospel to Adam. God preached the gospel to Abraham. The book of Galatians tells us that. They knew what the gospel was. But it didn't take effect until God became flesh. Like we studied as they studied John 1 and 1. We studied John 1 14. We studied John 1 18 where God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten from the Father. And then it says later on, the only begotten God. Because God begets God. Guess what? When God begets you, He puts eternal life in you. All right? It doesn't mean that you're going to have quit having trouble with the flesh. The flesh is still there, isn't it? How do you get the flesh under control? You're doing it tonight. By studying God's Word. By being influenced with God's Word. Okay? So here, we have a soul that is affected by the Spirit that comes and dwells in you. And of course, the body is affected. Okay? Now, can a saved child of God, can he sin? They can sin just as good as any lost person. But, you're not going to have fun with it. I said here the other day, I said you can sin securely, but safely never. You're not going to go to hell, but I'll guarantee you might wish you were there for a while when God gets through with you. He'll work you over. Simple as that. All right. Spirit. That little word, pneumah. Put ruah down there if you want to. Ruah. In Hebrew. I serve in spirit. How was he convicted to serve? Because the Spirit of God that lives in his triune being. Okay? Spirit of God in me. In the gospel, euangelion, we get our word angelos. Our word angel comes right out of Greek. You on the front of a word means good. Good message. The gospel is a good message. All right? The good message of the Son of Him. Look at that. To you. Out to. Of the Son. Now the word who you means what? We looked at all the different words for child and son. Technos means what?
A live birth.
What does brephos mean? Brephos. Brephos is another Greek word for a child. That is a newborn, freshborn infant. Brephos. Brief. Our word brief comes from that. All right, how about napios? What's napios in Greek? Napios. That means a speechless baby. One that can't talk yet. One that can't talk yet. You know, girls really out-talk boys. Did you know that? Girls talk quicker than boys do. You know where I'm going, don't you, Dakota? I talked on the radio on shortwave for 40-something years. When Dakota was born, she would go in and sit on my lap, and I had long braids, and she'd hold on to my braids, and she'd get out there and listen to me talking to my friends. And of course, she wanted to jabber. So she picks up the microphone and she goes, blah, 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 blah. And somebody in North Dakota will say, blah, 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 back to her. And somebody in Mississippi or Wisconsin will do the same thing. And she's sitting there having a ball, boy. They're talking. She's talking.
Ham radio.
On ham radio. And boy, I mean, she's having a ball on there and watching the watt meters fly. You know, the lights are flying and everything like that. She had a ball doing that. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to get that microphone away from her. She was a speechless baby, but she was making and communicating. As she got older, she started slowing down. Something about them Pauls. I had one uncle called Buck Paul. And a whole conversation for 8 hours was hi and bye. That was it. If you got that out of him, hi and bye. Till I was 30 years old, I wouldn't say a word. You couldn't choke a word out of me. I'd get up and preach, but that was it. And I was done. That was over. Communication. The gospel of the Son of Him. Now we have a little adverb here, hopes. All right, hopes. I think that's on page 444 if you want to put that down. Adelantos. Unceasingly without ceasing, another adverb. That adverb is used 4 times in the New Testament, by the way, that one right there. Adialeptos. It means without cease. It does not cease. It never stops. All right? The Son of Him, how unceasingly never stops the mention of me I make. Now, this verse should not have stopped right here. It's just kind of cut off. Now, it's nice to have the Bible in verses and chapters, but just because the next verse starts over here, it doesn't mean the subject ended. If you go to John's Gospel, you'll find out it's one run-together sentence or one sentence after another, tied together with conjunctions. It's one after another. All right. Mention the word menimeon, where our word memorial service comes from that. Menimeon. This is meon. Of me, of ye, I make. That word poie me. It means that he, and then we have to go to 1 and 10. Pantote. See, pantote is another adverb and it means always. I make mention always. So, I mean, we didn't even finish the subject here. We just jumped over on another verse when they broke it down and scriptures, it doesn't mean that the scripture stopped there. Pantote. Epi. Tone. Prosyukon. Mu. Diomenos. A. Pos. Ade. Pote. You o do face omai. Into thelamati. To Theu. Elthane. Prosimos. All right. Now, as you look at this and you learn to read it, you'll find out Greek looks a whole lot like English, and you won't have such a hard time reading Greek if you read it. Now, all of these classes are already up on the website, thanks to Randall over there, and you can go and you can listen to the first weeks, the second weeks, and the third weeks, and the fourth weeks, and go on. And you can listen over and take it and read it. I may even read this for you and record it in the class and just read like 10 verses or something for you on. So you can go back and see how Greek is sound. Okay? All right, always upon the prosyukamai, that means to bend the knee toward. All right, this prosyukamai, it means to bend the knee forward to, and it means to worship toward. Okay, to worship toward. And then it says of me, he said, I'm always remembering you in my prayers. I have a prayer list, and I'm constantly remembering you, Romans. Okay? And then he said, diomenos. Comes from dio. And it means it's bindingly necessary, requesting. All right? Requesting. Nominative, singular, masculine, present, participle, and active. Now here we have a noun and a verb combination. All right? Remember them participle things, David? He hadn't been in the class for a while. He came in to get brushed up on his Greek. All right. What does that mean, David? What does that mean there?
I'm going to let you answer it.
Okay. Nominative, that means it's the case of the subject. It is singular and it's masculine. Now, he's doing it. Paul's talking here, and he's doing it. Nominative, singular, masculine. See, remember about the persons here and everything? So, now this has got the persons like a verb. And it's also, it is like a noun, okay? Present, participle, middle voice. He's doing this of his own volition because he loves them. All right? Middle voice. Something inside, this spirit in him that makes us kin to each other that are saved. It's kind of, we love each other. The writer of 1 John says, we know we are saved because we love the brothers. So we want to pray for our brothers, okay? Requesting, and then we have a little word A there. See that word A?
A.
All right, it's A. That's the first class conditional particle, okay? First class conditional particle. I thought that I had brought a grammar with me tonight, but I did not do it. I just want to show you what. I studied all the grammars that I could lay my hands on, Dana's and A.T. Robertson's. He's got two of them. And then I wrote that little grammar that you have. A first-class condition, it means the condition is determined as what? Fulfilled. In other words, it's completed. So it's not an if in Greek like it is in English. When we think of a conditional something, it's if. But here, it should be translated since. Since. Since how, post, somehow, now, a day, all right? At some time, pote, I shall be given a happy journey. That's all in that. Eudo theisamai. I shall be given a happy journey. Now let's look at the person of this verb and everything. It's first person singular. I shall be. All right. It's future tense. Future tense.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen down the road somewhere yonder. And it's passive voice. Now what in the world is going on with the voice of the verb here? Passive voice means it's going to be done to him. Who do you think is going to get him there to Rome? Well, God is going to open the door. Remember, he got in trouble with them Jews over there. And he appealed to Caesar. And so he went to Rome to be tried. If you guys are getting a little bit warm, you want me to turn that air conditioner on a little bit? Is it too hot? No? Okay. All right. I shall have a happy journey. See the word you on the front of it? You o do say so my. It comes from you and hodos. Hodos. Hodos means road. Good road. All right? So he's going to have a happy journey. He shall be given a happy journey in the ento thelamate. Thelamate. In the will. In the... That word thelamate is used quite a bit in the Bible. I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians if you want to follow there with me. Theomatos. That's a beautiful word. Paulus Apostolos Christu Jesu de la Theomatos, it says in Ephesians 1:1. Thu tois hagios tois en ephesu kai pistois en Christu Jesu charisimen adreni apotheo patrosimon kai kirio Jesu Christu. Yugolotes, hothios, kai pater, tu krio hemon, esu Christu, yugogesos, himas, en pasa eulogia, pneumatiki, that means spiritual things, in the heavenly places, in tois, heavenlies, the upon heavens, in Christ Jesus, just as He picked us out, ex elisato himas in Him, pros before the foundation, the throwing down of the world system. Anyway, he goes on down there, and he uses a word several times over and over again, thelematos. Thelematos. And that's the word we have here. Why did God pick us out in Him before the foundation of the world?
Why?
Thelematos explains it. Way back over there in eternity past. See this thing on the wall? Way back over there, He picked us out in eternity past. And the thelematos. Thelematos means spiritual activating force. What caused God to pick us out in Him? And by the way, He set aside how He would do it by the cross of Calvary. He knew that His Son would become flesh to redeem the whole physical universe and mankind back to Himself. All right? What made Him do it?
Love.
That's right. You got an A plus tonight, Jesse. A plus. A plus. Love. And how do you say love in Greek? Agape.
Agape.
Agape. All right.
Agape.
Agape.
Now, which word here is that?
Thelematos. That's the word down there, thelematic. Okay, go on down. One, two, three, four. And the third word over there, and we don't have to go backwards this time either, Jesse.
No.
Greek is just like English, okay? See, now Hebrew, the last time we had to go from right to left.
The will.
Now we can go from left to right. All right. In the thelematos, the will, the spiritual activating force. Put down spiritual activating force because that's a better translation. Spiritual activating force of God. The spiritual activating force of God. To come toward ye. All right. El thing. To come. Comes from Erkamai. All right.
Wait just a minute.
Uh-huh.
I'm still hung back here where you said that when Paul said something about a happy journey.
Yes, that's up there. That's you. Do they so my? You do they so my?
But you said the tenses and the.
Yeah, first person singular, future, indicative, passive voice.
Means
he shall be caused. It will be caused. He will cause to be have a good journey to
it's not
Rome.
Like he's do it himself.
Well, it's going to be a good journey because he's going to get people saved on the way.
Right, but he's not initiating the journey.
God is going to open the doors.
Yeah.
Okay, He'll open the doors.
So way back here, God indicates how He's going to be taken to Rome.
Yeah, that's right. He tells him He's going to be taken to Rome. God lets him know that He's going to be taken to Rome. He's going to do it. All right? In the will, in the spiritual activating force belonging to God,
mm-hmm.
to you, to is a genitive, singular, masculine. Again, there's only one God, genitive, singular, masculine. Now, there's a word for the triune God in Hebrew. What is it? All right. The whole Godhead. There's a word. What is it? Elohim. Thank you, brother. You got an A-plus tonight. Elohim. All right. Elohim. It means it's plural. In Greek and in Hebrew, there's singular, duel, and plural. Now, we don't really look at duel too much in the New Testament. It's there in very rare places, but it's there. Okay? In Hebrew, it's singular, duel, and plural. And that word for God is plural. Three or more. Okay? Because He's a triune God. But there's three entities in the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. J. Lewis Guthrie said so many years ago, Brother Randall, you remember what he said? Back in eternity past, the Holy Spirit held in fluid form the whole universe. The Son spit it out, and it was planned by the mind of the Father. Now, you're made just that way. If you do anything, it's with your body. Okay? You do it. Even when you say something, it takes the function of the body to do it. Because you take the vocal cords. Or even, have you ever looked at somebody and knew what they were thinking without even them ever saying a word?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you call body language, okay? You can see it, but it's form. But it's communication. All right. The spiritual activating force to come toward ye. That's accusative, that himas down there is accusative plural. Alright? Accusative plural. Second person pronoun. Now let's go to 111. Epipothe. Epipothe. And then we run into this word gar again. Idain. Himas. Hina. T. Metado. Carvisma. All right, what's that in Spanish? What's that in Spanish? Huh? Huh?
Crystal?
In Spanish, that word carisma. It means gift.
It's for Christmas, huh?
Yeah, well, no.
Is it
regular? Yeah, but we got a word Italian, it is grazie, or grazie is gracias and grazie, okay? And here is charisma, all right? You get the word charisma from this word. Charisma is a gift. It is a gift that you have the ability to excite people, all right? People have told me I was a gifted teacher sometimes, that word charisma, teacher, okay? You study. I studied all of my life, but there's something there that belongs to God that's His. Okay, that He gives you the ability to communicate it. Okay, charisma, he man. That's dative plural second person pronoun. Dative plural. All right. Nominative singular. Nominative genitive oblative locative instrumental dative. Dative plural. Second person pronoun. Pneumatikon, and that means the word spiritual there. Remember what the word pneuma means, or pneumatikos? That's spiritual. Okay? And in Hebrew, it's what? Ruach. All right? And then we run into the word ace. There's no ice in ace, as my teacher used to say. There's no ice in ace. The German grammars will make it ice. They will pronounce it ice, but in Greek, it's ace. Okay? Ace. Page 119. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That one I want you to repeat. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. This is one you need to learn. We'll jump over a lot of things, but there's things that I'll repeat over and over and over. I remember when Ken Blinn went back to, where was that? Where'd he go back to? Kentucky? Kentucky. To the seminary back there in Kentucky. He went back there for A.T. Robertson was and everything, and he had 6 years of Greek from me. He went back there, and they put him in, like they have 2 years of Greek there. Well, it's baby Greek. It's baby Greek. It's beginning baby Greek. Okay? He went back there, and he laughed. He called me on the phone. He said, man, this is wonderful. He said, I had 6 years of Greek with you, and I go back there, and the teachers don't even know what I'm talking about. I said, when he comes to the Greek word, he said, extension, limitation, thought of verbal action, and nobody knew what it meant. Never even heard the term. It means that it either goes behind or forward or through something. It can go any direction. Extension, limitation, of thought or verbal action, forward or backward. Okay? And right here, let's see what it does. All right, I might impart to you some gift. Now, he could come there. Now, in the early church, they passed on gifts of the Spirit by laying on hands. Okay? Now, we still do that in churches today in ordination. The pastors, the deacons, the presbytery goes up there and they lay hands on the preacher that's being ordained. Okay? Now, somehow, there's gifts passed on there. Okay? In reference to, for the end result is what it actually means. Right here, this word ace, it means for the end result. For the end result to be established, you. Accusative plural. Second person pronoun. To be established. The word there comes from histomy. It's starizo. That's first aorist infinitive passive. To be established. How are they going to be established? By the gifts of the spiritual gifts. In the church, in the early church age, they did not How many gifts did they have? They had quite a few of them, didn't they? What, about 13, 14 church gifts? One of them was pastors.
Yes.
Aha. We don't have a gift of pastors today. Did you know that? The church doesn't have a gift of pastors. The Lord calls pastors. Back then, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have the New Testament. And so their pastors got up and was inspired to preach whatever they preached. It was by inspiration. And some of it's recorded. And here's one of them in a letter. Sometimes we have the sermon. In the 7th chapter of Acts, we have a preacher standing up and preaching, and we got part of that sermon. Stephen, preaching. We got part of that sermon. All right. But these men were inspired to stand up and preach, and they did. Now we have the Bible. God calls preachers, but we study the Bible. The information, the instruction manual is the Bible. That's why we're studying Greek tonight, because this is the original instruction manual. All right.
And God calls them to be pastors.
He calls them to be pastors. And you study, and God anoints you to preach the gospel. All right? He, you know what? I couldn't quit preaching. I can't do it. If God called you to preach and you wanted to quit preaching, forget it, Buster. You're going to be the most miserable person in the world. You're going to preach to somebody, if it's a mouse.
Yeah.
Or cockroach, or whatever, you're going to be preaching.
Do you think it's the same with teachers?
Teachers. That was one of the first, one of the gifts in the church was teachers.
Yeah.
Now, God calls teachers too.
Inspires you. Yeah.
He calls them, and then you prepare yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pray for God to help you remember what you put them together. And whatever. And you can be a gifted teacher.
Mm-hmm.
All right? A gifted teacher. Be established. To stand firmly and fast. I wrote a little book about 40 years ago. It's called The Doctrines of the Bible. And I was pastoring at that time. And when somebody was saved in the church, you know, when people get saved, they're all excited. They want to do something for the Lord. They go out and start witnessing to people and everything else. And they usually have nothing to witness with except, look at me. I'm good now, and I was bad before. That is something. Some of the churches in the world today, you smell like, you look like, you can't tell you from the world. So what in the world, what even testimony do you have, so to speak? What testimony do you have? Well, God calls teachers. Back then, teachers got up and taught by inspiration. Now, teachers get up and they teach a lesson. This little booklet that I wrote, The Doctrines of the Bible, it went through the basic doctrines of the Bible. When they went through that with me, they could get up and teach a class. I would let them go teach a class because they had enough foundation on there. Because if they had students in there, they had to have answers. You don't want to put somebody in a classroom to teach a class that doesn't have the answers, people. That's suicide for a church. You've got to have some type of foundation. All right. 1 and 12. Two-toed. They. Heston. Simparaklethesne. You hear these guys over here, they've been taking this. Now, they're not extra smart. They just got exposed to it. They got exposed to it for a long time. Now, I'm telling you, because now the same thing they're doing, you're going to do down a few months down the line. Really. Is that right, David? Are you David? Am I lying to him? Marilyn, never studied Greek at home at all. She can read this because she was in the class and she read it with me. So read it with me. And when you do that, you're going to learn it. You will learn by doing. Used to a long time ago, back in the Stone Age, when I was young, that's when they were barely invented the wheel, you know. Everybody learned by doing. If you want to work in the oil fields, you went out there and tried to dodge the bullets and tried to stay alive each shift. And you got home. If you got home alive without all your fingers and toes, you were lucky. But you learned how to dodge and how to do whatever you did. If you were a carpenter, you went out there and you were an apprentice. You didn't pay very much, but... And then you finally, when you learn, then you were an apprentice. Learn by doing. That's what you're doing with Greek. You're learning by doing it. Okay? You're apprentices in Greek now.
To be encouraged one more time.
What?
To be encouraged.
Oh, yeah, to be incurred. Sim para klethene. Sim para klethene. Next one, what is that one? Anybody know what that one is?
In.
Thank you. Boy. In himen. Now that word himen starts out with an ypsilon. Okay? Looks like a U. But you have a rough breather over the top of it. A rough breather. That's that word looks like this. This is a smooth breather, and that one's got a rough breather on it. Okay? And that turns it into an H. Himen. All right? That's locative, plural, second person pronoun. And then we have the word dia. Got a little preposition there. Dia, tase, in, alelois, pistios, himon. Do you see that rough breather? Himon. All right. Otherwise, it would be humon. Himon, te, kai, emu. All right. Have to turn that old machine over. It's Stone Age, but it does work. Whenever a thing else fails, it's on there. That was cotton picking machines down there. Either they work or they don't sometimes. And that one over there, maybe it works, maybe it don't. But that one is always there. It's an old tape. It's old, but it's dependable. All right.
This word soon, para,
they name.
Is the root word, is that paraclete?
Paracolio. Sima paracolio. All right. We'll get there. Okay. All right. Day is how it starts out. Moreover, weak adversative conjunctive particle, okay? Because of this, or moreover, this is to be encouraged. All right? It's to be shared and encouragement. To be shared and encouragement. We have the word seem. A symphony. Symphony is what? It's two Greek words. Symphone. Together sound. All right? So we have sim here, so what does that mean? That means together. Together, para. Para. Huh? Para is beside. And then word here we have the word kalio. Sim para kalio. It means to walk alongside and share. That's what it means. To walk alongside and share our comfort. That means, Brother Bill, if somebody's walking along and they got a bag of cookies, they will share them cookies with you. All right? If you're walking along with somebody, maybe you'll share your cookies with them. Okay? All right? All right. To be encouraged or to share encouragement in you all, in ye. All right? Locative, plural, second person pronoun. Because of the in one another faith. All right? Because in, that little preposition in that comes right into English, one another, alelois. And that is, again, locative, plural. All right? Little adjective there. In one another, faith. What is faith now? The word there, the root of it is pistis. That means to cling to with all of your might. Once you've been saved, when you get in trouble, you know where to go, don't you? More troubles you have, the closer you come to God. When everything's falling apart all around you, you still cling to God. That's the word faith. That's what makes you believe in God. When everything is going wrong, we still cling to God. Sometimes people get mad at God, don't they? Mm-hmm. They get angry with God because things aren't going right. And you just can't figure out why in the world things aren't going right. Why in the world has all this happened to me? Well, just step back in long range and look at it, and you find out most of the time God was just polishing you up a little bit. Faith of ye, te, both, a little cumulative particle, a combinatory cumulative particle, page 399 if you want to write that one down there, and of me. All right. In other words, he said, I'm going to build your faith up and you're going to build my faith up. What do you do when you are around other children of God? You build each other's faith up. You do. I had one of my students that was actually my student almost 40 years ago, I guess. I had two of them call me or get on the email me on the same day from the East Coast and up in the Northeast. And I have this friend of mine, he calls down and he said, "You really encouraged me." And I said, "Well, you really encouraged me. We're encouraging each other." And hello, Brother Hal, if you're up there listening to this class. He was my student and my classmate almost 40 years ago. And we're still encouraging one another. Sim para kalio. Okay? We encourage each other. When you're around your brothers, you encourage each other. Both of you come away winners. Okay? Because you get something. Both of you get something. All right. Gifts are passed back and forth. They're passed back and forth. All right? 113. Moving along here. Anybody read that first one? Brother David? Ooh, thank you. What's the next one? Ooh? Fellow. Fellow. All right. Day. Himas. Ag noyein. That sounds like ignorant, doesn't it? That's where our word ignorant comes from, right there. Agnoye. And Delphoi. Hote. Polikis. Pro thamine. Pro thamine. Elthane. Pros. Himas. Kai. Ek kolithane. Arki. Tu, duro, hina, tina. Isn't that Greek? Doesn't Greek rhyme good? Doesn't it sound good? Greek would change their words to sound good. Euphony, good sound. Euphony. All right. And we have an adverb of negation to start off with. We have a particle of a negation, which is me, and we have an adverb of negation. Actually, the word is uk, but it's shortened here for euphony. It comes from Uk, page 294. Uk, fellow, not I wish, moreover, not I wish ye to be ignorant. Ignoramuses, brainless. Okay? I don't want you to be brainless. I don't want you to be thoughtless. I don't want you to be ignorant. By the way, this is one of the word noi there. It is one of the five words for mind in Greek. Yeah, to know. Okay. Now let me tell you a little bit about the five words. Since we're running into one here. Now Paul was going to make plays on them. Okay. There's actually more than five. We got theomatos also. We looked at that spiritual activating force, didn't we? Theomatos. And thelo, or thele, is where it comes from, the wish. Or to will. We have the word, here we have ag noein. It comes from the word nome here. Well, there's another word in Greek for mind, and it's nous. Okay, nous. It's like N-O-S, nous, except N-O-O-S or N-O-U-S, okay? It means the faculty of perception and understanding, feeling, judging, determining spiritual things. Ephesians, 4:17, Philippians 4:7, Colossians 2:18, 1 Timothy 6:5. It means a new faculty of understanding inherent with a new birth. That's the word nous.
How do you spell it?
N-O-U-S. Just like that. Okay? Or something like this in English. Nous. All right. Romans 7:23-25. 2 Timothy 3:8. 1 Timothy 6:5. Colossians 2:18. Those are all parts of where it's used. Nome. Nome. All right. Nome, which this word comes from. Nome is gamma, nu, omega, me, and eta. See if I can do this without giving myself an asthma attack. Nome. That's it. Right there. Nome. It means the ability to discern, the capacity of judgment as far as conduct is determined. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. In nome, the direction to a certain object determines the thought, but in nous, the opinion as a whole or the way of thinking and judgment is emphasized. It looks the way a person approaches an object.
So nome would be kind of like not being led type of thing?
It means just a basic understanding. Okay? And then boule. Boule. This is another good word, boule. You like this stuff? I remember Darius Sherwood Madden introduced me to this. Like when he said this, boy, I didn't learn it in Greek. I learned this in a theology class. He was just sharing a few words with me. So you're getting it all now. Greek and theology. Okay? Boule. The mental will or plan. Counsel. Boule. All right. Acts 27:39, 2 Corinthians 1:17, Matthew 1:19, Acts 15:37, and 18:27, Hebrews 6:17, and Ephesians 1:11-14. Boule. Boule. Then we have the word thelematos, which you looked at a while ago. Thelematos, remember, we had that. And that means a desire, spiritual activating force. And now we will have the word frame. Frame. Frame.
Are you saying frame like picture frame?
I'm going to write her up here for you. I like that. Frame. That's a feet. That's what it looks like in Greek. Frame. Like that in English. My name's Phillips. It comes from that Greek word right, or that Greek letter right there. Fit. Frame. Frame. Let's look at that now, the word frame. It means the diaphragm, the midriff, the mind, the intellect, carnal intellect, common sense, horse sense. Horse sense. Every animal has horse sense, or it's not going to last very long. Okay? This is common sense, this is horse sense. This is preservation sense, so to speak. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:20. 1 Corinthians 4:6 and Romans 12:3. I don't share this too often. How many times did I do this in over the last few years? A few times, haven't I? Yeah. All right, and then Sophia. Sophia Loren. You know how to spell that. All right, Sophia. 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 And, of course, you know how to spell Sophia in English. It's simple. It means the ability to use everything at your fingertips to good. Eisagathon. To good. This is the ability to use everything around you to the good. To your good and to those good around you. This would be a good politician if they had such a thing. But since we don't, forget it. That's the idea. Sophia.
Wisdom,
what?
Wisdom.
It means spiritual wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual wisdom. To use all the faculties of the mind to the good. To bring about noble or righteous results. The ability by which divine things are understood and known and used. James 1 and 5. Okay. Did you like that little bit? I used to tell, I had one teacher called Darius Sherwood Madden. If you look on the website, discovertheword.com, you'll be looking at me. I was 6'2" in that photo. And I weighed about 220 pounds or 30 pounds, something like that. And I looked like a little bitty baby beside Darius Sherwood Madden. He was about 6'8" or something, or 6'6" or 6'8", weighed about close to 400 pounds or maybe a little over. Great big old guy. And he used to preach. He'd get up and preach, and you swear he'd start off with some text, and he'd go no telling where with it. But every time he'd come back home, and you understood what he was talking about. There was a rhyme and reason to it all. Okay? A rhyme and reason to it all. He'd always come home and it would touch your heart with that lesson. He would take common things that he did in life and he'd put them together and help you to understand. You know, did you ever hear me preach, bro? He was great, wasn't he? Great preacher. He could shake the rafters with his voice, too. The whole place would just shake. Monstrous guy. Big old hands about that wide. Great big man. I used to say that he had more horse sense than a herd of wild horses. I told him that several times, and he repeated it over and over again. He said, Brother Phillips, he said, he used to tell me that I had more horse sense than a herd of wild horses. But I'm going to tell you something. That man put it in common man's language. They got it. When he got through preaching, you know he'd been preached to. I used to say that he could make a man feel lower than any human being on the face of this earth. But when he got it all over with, and he'd make God higher. But then in the end, he'd put you together and show you there's a way to be in harmony. All right. Thank you for your attention today. We'll shut right here. We're finished. Okay. We'll finish right there at 1:13, and we'll start off there next week. Okay? All right. And what's the date today? 10 and verse 6. 10:6:10. All right. Pretty soon it's going to be 10:10:10. All right. Thank you for your attention. I hope you learned something from God's Word. I hope it was a blessing to you. Let's be dismissed and go out and do something what? Eternal. Go out and do something eternal. All right. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Lord, we're so thankful to come worship you, Lord. And we're so thankful for your Word. And Lord, we're so thankful for Brother Phillips here that we know he's led by the Spirit. And Lord,